Hare Krishna. It's with a little trepidation I'm sitting here in front of you today, and I'll tell you why. It was in 1996 I came to this temple for first time, spring, maybe just a little before now, and at that time I was having in touch with the devotees for about a year, but I haven't really taken to Krishna consciousness seriously. And then coming to this temple, seeing the deities, seeing Prabhupada's rooms, it had such an impact in my heart. I was for 4 days chanting constantly, practically 40, 50 rounds. I've chanted like 4 rounds before in my life. I'm washing pots in the kitchen by the mercy of Acharya Sevak Prabhu. So since then, it was the turning point in my spiritual life. I started to chant 16 rounds. And since then, I have never sat down on this Vyasasan. So today is the first day. So I beg for blessings that I may express my gratitude with my words. Hare Krishna. So we are on Canto 9, starting today, Chapter 1. And it's a lot of verses to read. So the chapter is entitled, Kim Sudyumna Becomes a Woman. Text number 1. Kim Parikshit said, My Lord Sukadeva Goswami, you have elaborately described all the periods of the various manus, and within those periods, the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited potency. I am fortunate to have heard all this from you. Satyavrata, the saintly king of Dravida Desh, who received spiritual knowledge at the end of the last millennium by the grace of the Supreme, later became Vaivasvata Manu, the son of Vivashvam, in the next Manvantara, period of Manu. I have received this knowledge from you. I also understand that such kings as Ikshvaku were his sons, as you have already explained. So this is the connection between the two cantos. The last canto ended with the history of Satyavrata. And now King Parikshit, he wants to inquire about the descendants of Vaivasvata Manu, who was King Satyavrata. O greatly fortunate Sukadeva Goswami, O great Brahmana, kindly describe to us separately the dynasties and characteristics of all those kings, for we are always eager to hear such topics from you. Kindly tell us about the abilities of all the celebrated kings born in the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu, including those who have already passed, those who may appear in the future, and those who exist at present. So again, what's going on in this canto, mainly we're going to hear about the dynasties of the moon and the dynasties of the sun. That takes practically most of the canto. There is many, many other stories. Here we're going to hear of King Yayati, of King Pururava, Ambarish Maharaj, and of course, Lord Ram. So text 6. Sudha Goswami said, When Sukadeva Goswami, the greatest knower of religious principles, was thus requested by Maharaj Parikshit in the assembly of all the scholars learned in Vedic knowledge, he then proceeded to speak. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, subduer of your enemies, now hear from me in great detail about the dynasty of Manu. I shall explain as much as possible, although one could not say everything about it, even in hundreds of years. The Transcendental Supreme Person, the Super Soul of all living entities, who are in different statuses of life, high and low, existed at the end of the millennium, when neither this manifested cosmos nor anything else but him existed. O King Parikshit, from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was generated a golden lotus on which the four-faced Lord Brahma took birth. So we heard this already in the Bhagavatam, right? Which canto was this described? Anyone knows? Third canto, the creation So now he's relating the same things to give us the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu. From the mind of Lord Brahma, Marichi took birth, and from the semen of Marichi, Kashyapa appeared from the womb of the daughter of Daksha Maharaj. From Kashyapa, by the womb of Aditi, Vivasvan took birth. O king, best of the Bharata dynasty, from Vivasvan, by the womb of Samgya, Shradadev Manu was born. Shradadev Manu, having conquered his senses, begot 10 sons in the womb of his wife, Shraddha. The names of these sons were Ikshvaku, Nriga, Saryati, Dishta, Drishta, Karushaka, Narishyanta, Prisadra, Nabhaga, and Kavi. Manu at first had no sons. Therefore, in order to get a son from him, the great saint Vasistha, who was very powerful in spiritual knowledge, performed a sacrifice to satisfy the demigods Mitra and Varuna. During that sacrifice, Shraddha, Manu's wife, who was observing the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk, approached the priest offering the sacrifice, offered obeisances to him, and begged for a daughter. Told by the chief priest, now offer oblations, the person in charge of oblations took clarified butter to offer. He then remembered the request of Manu's wife and performed the sacrifice while chanting the word Vashat. Text 16. Manu had begun that sacrifice for the sake of getting a son, but because the priest was diverted by the request of Manu's wife, a daughter named Ila was born. Upon seeing the daughter, Manu was not very satisfied. Thus he spoke to his guru Vasistha as follows. It's a short purport. Because Manu had no issue, he was pleased at the birth of the child, even though a daughter, and gave her the name Ila. Later, however, he was not very satisfied to see the daughter instead of a son. Because he had no issue, he was certainly very glad at the birth of Ila, but his pleasure was temporary. Okay, so that's the verse that we're having today on the board. Text number 17. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, all of you are expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. How then has the result been opposite to the one desired? This is a matter for lamentation. There should not have been such reversal of the results of the Vedic mantras. Purport. In this age, the performance of yajna has been forbidden because no one can properly chant the Vedic mantras. If Vedic mantras are chanted properly, the desire for which a sacrifice is performed must be successful. Therefore, the Hare Krishna chant is called the Maha Mantra, the great exalted mantra above all other Vedic mantras, because simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra brings so many beneficial effects. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sikshastaka 1, Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita svadhanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Therefore, the best performance of yagya given to us in this is the Sankirtan yagya. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti His Sumedasaha. Those who are intelligent take advantage of the greatest yagya in this age by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in congregation. When the Hare Krishna Mantra is chanted by many men together, the chanting is called Sankirtan. And as a result of such a yagya, there will be clouds in the sky. Yagyat Bhavati Parjanya. In these days of drought, people can gain relief from a scarcity of rain and food by the simple method of the Hare Krishna yagya. Indeed, this can relieve all of human society. At present, there are droughts throughout Europe and America, and people are suffering. But if people take this Krishna consciousness movement seriously, if they stop their sinful activities and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all their problems will be solved without difficulty. In other processes of yagya, there are difficulties because there are no learned scholars who can chant the mantras perfectly well. Nor is it possible to secure the ingredients to perform the yagya. Because human society is poverty-stricken, and men are devoid of Vedic knowledge and the power to chant the Vedic mantras, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only shelter. People should be intelligent enough to chant it. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. Those whose brains are dull cannot understand this chanting, nor can they take to it. Srila Prabhupada. So the story goes that King Sudyumna, he wanted a child. Sorry, King Sudyumna, Vivasvan, by Vasvatamanu, in fact. He wanted a child, he wanted a son. And he wasn't able to beget a son, and then he performed, he actually, Vasistha, he came and he was going to help him to conceive a son, and then they arranged for a yagya. And the priest, while he was going to perform the yagya, by Vasvatamanu's wife, Shraddha, she came and she said, "I want a girl." And then when he was offering the ghee in the fire, that was in his mind, and then a girl came. So then Vaivasvatamanu wasn't very happy with this. And even though he was happy that she had given birth, he wasn't happy because he wanted a boy. So the story will go on later that Vasistha actually will give some benediction by which this girl called Ila will become King Sudyumna. It's an interesting story because then anyway, you'll see that as the chapter goes on. But I'll try to focus on the purport. And the main point that Prabhupada is establishing in the purport is that just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all perfection can be achieved. In fact, he's quoting this very important verse from the Sikshastakam. This verse actually was like the banner of the Gaudiya Math. It was when Srila Prabhupada, when he took this to heart, and we can see that he was successful because of his great faith in the chanting of the holy name. And it comes out in this purport so strong that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only shelter. And who is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? It's Krishna. It's no different. Krishna and his name are no different. So Prabhupada is quoting from the 11th canto, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasa. That in the age of Kali, intelligent persons chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's a very, very interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, those verses, those purpose. You remember those purpose? Anyone remembers what he said there? That, you know, in Kali Yuga, the situation, it says that holy name is there in all the yugas, all the ages, and it has the same potency. You can achieve perfection through the chanting of the holy name. But he says that in Kali Yuga, there is a special benediction. And what is that special benediction? That the situation is so unbearable. The living entities in Kali Yuga, the situation is infected with enviousness. Everybody is competing. It's so much competition, so much harassment, that actually people take to the chanting of the holy name with full heart, and they derive the great benefit. So basically, this is a, you know, sometimes we're in our practices of, you know, in our daily activities, we feel harassed in so many ways, or there is so many tests, so many difficulties. And what is this? This is actually an opportunity for us to call out, to chant sincerely Krishna's names. That actually the basis of all our activities, the basis of our advancement in Krishna consciousness, the basis of our relationships with other devotees, is this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, particularly japa. Emphasis is being given to kirtan, both of them are there, but we have this vow of taking chanting every morning 16 rounds. And when we actually take to the chanting sincerely, then Krishna reciprocates. So sometimes it takes, unfortunately, for us to be able to call out the name with a sincere feeling to be put through some difficulty. I don't know if it's the case with you, but it's definitely the case with me. Now, unless I am going through some turmoil, I'm just kind of cruising, you know. But when things become a little difficult, then Krishna, you know, take the holy name to heart. And really, there is no other shelter. It comes to a point that you try so many different things. We try this, we try that, and nothing works. And I know sometimes, you know, we say, you know, people say, like, make a joke that every answer, every question can be answered with just chant Hare Krishna. But actually, it's a fact. It's a fact, even though, okay, we may need counseling, we may need friends, we may need so many other things to chant. But actually, all the problems will be resolved if we can chant sincerely, if we can take to the chanting with full heart. Everything else that we do, deity worship, everything, all the services that we do, are there just to actually help us to chant properly. We should become like expert chanters of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Prabhupada is quoting this Sikshastakam verse, and there are different benedictions given in the Sikshastakam verse. You know how many benedictions are there? Seven. So, Chetu Dharpana Marjanam. The first benefit of chanting the holy name is that it cleanses the mirror of the mind. And what is the problem? The consciousness is now clouded. It's clouded by material desires. It's clouded by the enjoying spirit. It's clouded by atheistic tendencies. They are there in the heart for many, many lifetimes. And how difficult it is to get rid of them, is it not? Material desires like haunting us. And Jiva Goswami, actually, he explains that, he says that, you know, by chanting, anyone who takes shelter of the holy name, well, anyone who takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will actually, not Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explaining on this verse, he's saying that, you know, in Kali Yuga, it's so difficult to not be affected by the age, by the bad qualities of Kali Yuga. It's practically impossible. You are, you know, where they are going to come up. But someone who takes shelter of the holy name, he says that, you know, he will not be affected by Kali Yuga. And he says that maybe from time to time, maybe some bad quality may come up. But he says that just by chanting Hare Krishna, very easily, all those unwanted things, all those anarthas, will disappear, will be uprooted. So the main problem of the living entity in conditioned life is, may I ask, what is the main problem of the living entity in conditioned life? It's in a forest fire. Okay, that comes now, eh? Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. It's in a forest fire. But what is it? Why is it that we are in the forest fire? Is the problem in the living entity in the forest fire is that we don't want to go. It says lust is sometimes compared to fire. Material desires, lust. But this, you know, usually with fire, when you come closer to the fire, or the fire gets closer to you, you stay away from that, right? But with lust, the hotter it gets, the closer you want to get, right? You don't want to. So this, so what is the problem? What is the problem? We've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten who we really are. We've forgotten our real identity. And we are thinking that we are, you know, such and such, such and such. That I am like this, I am like that. And that's the root cause of all the problems. So this chanting cleanses the mirror of the mind. When we hear, when we take it to heart. And then next thing, Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. The material existence is like a forest fire. Like a forest fire, it means, as I said, it's, you know, enviousness, competition. Within Haras, the threefold miseries are there. And the problem, we don't want to go. Remember one purport in the Bhagavatam, in the second chapter. The Prabhupada says that very, very few people want to actually go back home, back to Godhead. Very, very few people. We don't want to go. We have, but because why? Because, well, because from so many lifetimes we have become conditioned to surrender to Maya, and surrender to Krishna, it seems like a really difficult thing, right? But actually, now surrender has got so many connotations. That surrender, it means I'm going to have to suffer. But actually surrender is blissful. And why is blissful? Because it's the natural thing for the soul. The soul wants to surrender to Krishna. And when we surrender to Krishna, we can actually experience the bliss of the soul. So, Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Shreya means, I'm still with the Spanish ship, Shreyas means, Shreyas and prayers. Shreya means that long-term goal, that long-term benefit. Kairava is like the lotus, white lilies, it says. Chandrika, it says that the holy name is like the moon. And Krishna is like the moon, and our soul is like a lotus, and just like the lotus opens with the moonshine, when the soul is exposed to the sound vibration of the Maha Mantra, actually all the qualities of the soul will blossom, will manifest. And what are the qualities of the soul? That we actually want to serve Krishna. That we no longer identify ourselves with being the controller, with being the enjoyer, but actually a natural relationship with Krishna blossoms. The fragrance of the flower, of the soul. And what is that flavor? It's Satchidananda, is blissful. Vitaranam. Vidya vadu jivanam. That the holy name is, what is the literal translation? Is the, it's not here. Yeah. Is the source of all transcendental knowledge. ecstasy. Vidya Vadhu. Vadhu means wife. Wife is the wife of all transcendental knowledge. Sometimes devotees get a little confused with this meaning. Eh? Why? Because it says the life of all transcendental knowledge. I remember when I first read that, I thought, it's a mistake here. It says the life of all transcendental knowledge. But actually, Vadhu in Sanskrit means wife. Eh? It's the wife. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains that this knowledge is the Swarup Shakti. The internal potency of the Lord, it descends on the heart of the living entity and it illuminates his heart. So just as a wife always follows her husband, this Swarup Shakti, who is in one sense the wife of Krishna, he follows Krishna. So when we are chanting Krishna's names, we're inviting Krishna in our hearts, and along with Krishna, his internal potency, Swarup Shakti. And what is that knowledge again? Is the knowledge is gonna inspire us to give up the material world, to actually understand that the material world is a place, of suffering. It's a place where, you know, we can try so many different things, but we will never be right. We will never be satisfied. No matter what situation you're in, anyone that you meet, they have some issue, something they want to adjust. And that's why Prabhupada said that you have to change anything in your life, because you can keep changing things in your life, but you will never be satisfied. What is the point? That you have to add Krishna, become Krishna conscious, accept your quota, and just add Krishna. And when you add Krishna, then the satisfaction that we're searching for, which is called Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, is Anandam Buddhi is an ocean of unlimited bliss. It's an ocean, like material. And I remember, what was it? Yeah. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, and he was chanting, he was doing Harinam Sankirtan in the streets, and all the Mayavadi sannyasis were criticizing him. And one Brahmana came to the house where he was staying, I believe it was with Chandrasekhar, and then the Brahman, he said, I have invited all the Mayavadi sannyasis for lunch to my house. Will you please come and honor? I will be so honored if you come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surprisingly agreed to come to give the blessings to this Brahmana. So he went, and there they were, all these sannyasis. And Lord Chaitanya arrived, and the first thing he did, he offered his obeisances and he washed his feet. And then he sat down on the place where he washed his feet. And then by his mystic power, he display like a unlimited effulgence. All the sannyasis were like mesmerized by this effulgence. And they came. Prakashananda Sarasvati was a leader. And he came and said, why are you sitting here in this place? Please come and sit with us. And Lord Chaitanya, in his humility, he said, actually, I belong to a lower rank of sannyasis. And therefore, I don't deserve to sit down with you. And they said, no, please come. And they say, and then a dialogue ensued where Prakasananda Sarasvati, he said, why are you associating with all these fanatics, acting like a fanatic, chanting Hare Krishna in the streets, why don't you come and study Vedanta with us? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, he said, my spiritual master, he considered me to be a fool. I am not qualified to study Vedanta. He said to me, he gave me a mantra. He said, you should chant this mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then he said, actually, just by chanting this Maha Mantra, you will see Krishna's lotus feet. And then you will achieve all perfection, just by chanting this mantra. And along with that mantra, he gave me another mantra, to keep always on my throat. Which mantra was it? Harinam, Harinam, Harinamayava Kevalam, Kalonastieva Nastieva Katiranyata. That just by performance of, but just by chanting, all perfection can be achieved. There is no other way, there is no other way. And he said that, you know, I went on chanting this Maha Mantra and I became mad. I was rolling on the ground and I was crying and I couldn't contain myself. So I came back to my spiritual master and I said, what kind of mantra have you given me? You know, I'm going crazy. I'm losing all, I'm bewildered. And he explained the symptoms. And then Keshava Bharati, he was so happy. And he said, actually, this is the symptom of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that the heart becomes soft and that we're able to experience all these higher emotions. Of course, this is a very high level of chanting. When, you know, all ecstatic symptoms manifest in the heart. But then he said, so then Lord Chaitanya was explaining, so therefore, you know, I went on chanting. And then, just by the sweetness of Lord Chaitanya speaking with the sannyasis, they all of them, their heart changed, and they all became convinced, and they all surrendered to Krishna, to Mahaprabhu. So the idea is that, you know, so much is mentioned in the books about attitude, so much about culture. But how are we going to attain this culture? Is through the chanting. Someone who is chanting Hare Krishna, he will, that will manifest in his behavior, external behavior. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam, I'm going to run out of time, pratipadam purna mritasvadanam sarvatma snapanam. Sarvatma snapanam means that is the most purifying. Actually, the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, can uproot all impurities from the heart. And it's a blissful purification, actually. Param vijayate si Krishna sankirtanam. And let there be all victory for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada had full conviction of all these principles. And he based all his success in this. In fact, you may know the story, but I heard in Vrindavan, Dinabandhu Prabhu was telling that in the sannyas ceremony, just in connection with this verse also, in the sannyas initiation of Srila Prabhupada, some of the brahmanas were reciting mantras, and the priest, there were also devotees performing sankirtan, and the priest says to the devotees doing sankirtan, okay, no, stop, now the mantras for the yagi are going to take place. And the story was told by a kinchana, Krishna, Prabhupada's brother, who was like a very love-intoxicated person. He was constantly chanting the holy name. He said he saw that when the priest said this to Prabhupada, to the devotees doing sankirtan, Prabhupada, with his hand, he said like, okay, keep going, keep chanting the holy name. And he said that Kinchala Krishna, Prabhu, he said at that point he understood that this was the man who was going to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, because he had full faith in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And, in fact, that was the case when he came to New York. That's what the basis of his movement was, to go out and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And what was the result? Within 10 years, the devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan, they were performing, following the Ratha Yatras through the most important avenue in the whole world, Fifth Avenue in New York. The devotees were, the whole traffic stopped just for Lord Jagannath and the devotees to perform the Sankirtan movement. And in fact, now, last week, right, or a week before, central London, also the devotees were performing Harinam Sankirtan. So this is the key. For one little thing that I have learned in my short life in Krishna consciousness is that this the main activity, the most important activity in our lives, actually, is these 2 hours in the morning when we chant Hare Krishna. It's the most important activity, and in fact, we should give it, you know, we should give to these 2 hours of japa the best time, the best attention, and give all our efforts. And from that, Sri Krishna, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtana. All success will be there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions?